Dublin.
Hello, hello. Good afternoon, Los Angeles and everybody in the world beyond. I want to introduce you this hour. It's called the LA Dot Town Hall Tour, and it's hosted by me, Renee Reisman, the Creative Catalyst, which is an artist in residence for the Los Angeles Department of Transportation, otherwise known as LA Dot. In this series of community conversations, we actually take a town hall conversation to you using one of our beautiful LA Dot buses. We are rolling down to neighborhoods across Los Angeles this summer to have conversations about community issues and pressing issues with transit, infrastructure, arts, culture, organizing, activism, etc. Today's conversation is called How to Make Public Comment, and what we hope to do is demystify this public comment process a little bit for you, and also have our partners here with the Koreatown Youth and Community Center, Steve King and Genesis Jerez, to tell you how their activism and presence in Koreatown has really benefited from being active in civic government. Because I know that a lot of people get frustrated or discouraged, or they don't think they can be heard, or you just like truly do not know how to make a public comment. I sure barely know how to do it. But right before we get deep into the conversation, I did want to make a land acknowledgement. And if you are not based in LA, I hope you also recognize the original stewards of the land where you are located. But I wanted to recognize the Tonga, the Chumash, and the Gabrielino people of Southern California, because this is the land that we are on, and they were the original stewards of this land. And we really hope that, even though this is just a small gesture, that acknowledging these communities gives power back to them. And I would also encourage everybody to respect your elders, your ancestors, the youth, the future generations, and to hopefully we can start beginning decolonizing this land. So thank you for that. So I am going to let every panelist introduce themselves, but we have Kevin Okubilo from LA Dot. He works in our external affairs and is my wonderful colleague that has helped me so much with my residency. We also have Steve King and Genesis Jerez that are here representing KYCC. And I think, did I say what KYC stood for? It's the Koreatown Youth and Community Center, in case I didn't say that yet. But I'm just going to let them introduce themselves to you. So, Kevin, why don't you speak first?
Sure. Good morning. Glad to be here. I'm Kevin Okubilo. I'm a transportation planner with the Los Angeles Department of Transportation. And I lead the community engagement work at LADOT. And previous to my job at LADOT, I had also worked as a council deputy working for LA City Council. So from neighborhood councils to the legislation process, you know, public comment is an integral piece of that, and comes in all forms. And we're trying to look at ways to innovate that while also meeting statutory requirements by law. But I'm glad to be here and happy to share my perspective.
Genesis?
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Genesis Jerez. I am the Prevention Education Manager at Koreatown Youth and Community Center. I have been working with KYCC for 7 years. A lot of the work that we do is around substance abuse prevention, and so we teach youth and community members how to advocate for these types of policies to create safer communities for all. And so some of the work we've done over the years have been to advocate for not increasing liquor store outlets, as well as banning flavored tobacco. And so we teach youth and parents how to do the public comment process so that they're heard by decision makers. So thank you for having me.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. My name is Steve King. I'm the Director of External Affairs at KYCC. So I've been with the agency for a little over 3 years now, and it's been amazing a journey here with us. And I also live in Koreatown, so I think it's great to live and work for the area that you're servicing. So my area of work is I not only become the spokesperson for the agency, but also manage the government and community affairs of Koreatown for KYCC. And I also lead a team of great community activists who work on communication and development issues for the agency.
Thank you, everybody, for introducing yourselves. So we've so Kevin, Genesis, Steve, I'm really excited that you guys are all here. I'm really excited to learn more about what KYCC does. But first, actually, let's go to the beginning of this topic, how to make public comment. Kevin, you are our unofficial expert today in the public comment process. Would you be able to just give the audience listening today a rundown of how to do it? I know there's so many different ways of giving public comment, but maybe just, walk us through it and maybe also give us a hypothetical transit-friendly example.
Sure, yeah. So public comment is a tool that and a process that occurs in many different forums in the city of Los Angeles and for city governance. So one local example might be the local neighborhood council. So neighborhood councils in the city of Los Angeles are actually quasi-government agencies, entities where they're sponsored by the city of LA, but members who are on the board are elected through a democratic stakeholder process. And it's the responsibility of the neighborhood council to put forward recommendations, suggestions, or even statements on behalf of a particular piece of legislation or perhaps a project. And so in a neighborhood council meeting might be one way in which folks would participate in a public comment process. And essentially, the way it works is there's a meeting, there's an item is introduced. Let's say we're talking about a new transit line that's going to come through the neighborhood, and the public agency who's proposing the project wants to hear from the neighborhood, and so the neighborhood council would want to discuss this and maybe write a letter in support or opposition, or with some recommendations about transit line should look like or should include, and they would do so by hearing public's comment, right? Typically, the way that happens is there's a set amount of time period, maybe a minute or 2 minutes, in which any member of the public can submit a speaker card to speak on an item. So that's basically the way it goes. So it can be sort of a verbal testimony. Public comment could also be written testimony where there are letters submitted on behalf of a particular topic.
And to figure out the schedule of these conversations or how to submit that card, is there a website? Is there a place? Where would I go to find out what's even happening?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think there are a multitude of sources to find out that information. I think the best way that I would recommend to do it is to look at the website of the forum that you're going to speak in. So for example, if you're going to go to the neighborhood council, at their general board meeting, you'd want to go to the neighborhood council's website, where they would typically have an agenda for that meeting and have some rules laid out about how to submit the public comment and some information about what that is. If you're going to the city council meeting, the LA City Council has a website that has the agenda and also the items that'll be discussed and some information about how to submit public comment.
And I know that city council, at least pre-pandemic, they met every Tuesday, Thursday, Friday at 10 a.m., I think?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so those are set in stone if it's the city council. So that is a bit easier to find. The neighborhood council, you'll probably need to go to your local council district's website. I can't remember the URL off the top of my head, but I know if you Google, you know, LA Council District or LA County, what is it? There's like the smaller districts and then there's like the bigger ones, like 1, 2, and 3. Mm. I think there's a website the government has where you put in your address and, you know, maybe you can put in just your zip code if you don't want to give them your address. And it kind of pulls up all the info of like, who is your district? Who's your council member? Who is your representative? And from that, you can start finding out more specifically. One last question about this process, Kevin. Let's say you want to talk about something that's not on the agenda. How would you start to bring up new issues or comment on things that maybe, yeah?
Sure, yeah, this is a really good distinction to make. So at a typical meeting, whether you're at the city council or at the neighborhood council, where there are multiple items to be discussed, you can submit two kinds of cards. One is for general public comment, where you would go and talk about an item that's not on the agenda for that day. And then the other is you would submit a comment card for a specific item that's on the agenda. So you when you go to these meetings, there's typically two opportunities for you to give public comment. It just depends on what the subject of what you're speaking on, when it's going to be agendized or if it's agendized or not.
Yeah, and maybe later on our panelists can give tips, but a few things to know too is that they can sometimes be a real stickler for time, so it can be really helpful to write yourself a script and like rehearse it in advance of speaking, because you might only have like 1 minute or sometimes even less if a lot of people are talking. And so just introducing yourself, like, hi, my name is Renee Reisman, I'm LADOT's Creative Catalyst, like that might eat up 5 seconds of 45 seconds. So rehearsing what you want to say first is a great example. Again, either write a script or just like talk it out first a few times, like you're, you know, imagining a conversation in front of a mirror. And submitting that card in advance, because there usually is not a lot of time for like people who didn't like sign up in advance. So you need to be strategic, you need to plan ahead, which is a bit unfortunate because people usually, you know, they get so fired up and passionate about an issue and maybe you only learned about the issue like the night before, so it can get hard to get your voice in. But paying attention to what's going on in our neighborhood and community and being a little bit prepared will make it like more effective. But Steve and Genesis are no strangers to advocating on behalf of Koreatown. And so I wanted, Steve, could you explain more deeply what KYCC's services are?
Sure. So KYCC, as you mentioned earlier, it stands for Koreatown Youth and Community Center. We're a nonprofit organization based here in Koreatown, Los Angeles. And we were founded in 1975. So when people think about KYCC, they think, oh, KYCC is a Korean service organization. That's half true. When we were founded, we were called Korean Youth Center, KYC. And we were primarily serving at-risk Korean youth in 1975 here in LA. But over the years, with the evolution of Koreatown, we wanted to be much more multicultural. We wanted to serve everybody in the Koreatown region. So we, in early 2000, our K changed from Korean to Koreatown to reflect that diversity. And we now serve just as many Koreans as our Latinx brothers and sisters, as well as all the other residents and businesses here in Koreatown. Unlike some of the other nonprofits where they focus on one service area or one key issue, we have a diverse array of direct service programming, from our mental health counseling, drug treatment services, our youth services. And then we're outside today, all the trees and that are here in Koreatown, KYCC actually plants and manages that. As well as all the graffiti that's out there when residents call in to their local council member or to the city, our crews are dispatched to remove that graffiti as well. So we have a large environmental services. And then also we're very proud of our community economic development, where throughout the pandemic, we were providing in-language assistance to everybody who were applying for the unemployment insurance or the SBA pandemic-related assistance grants, loans, and everything else, financial literacy. And then the last piece is we're here at our one of our permanent supportive housing, where we also develop and build and manage affordable housing throughout Koreatown. And we currently have 8 buildings with 209 units and more to be coming in the future.
Wow, that's really amazing work. So you're not just like, yeah, one building and doing some classes. You do like everything.
Yeah, we do. I like to say we do everything in the nonprofit book except direct medical services.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, and when you mentioned the trees, I saw on your website that you did like weekly tree like distribution.
Yep.
Or something.
Yep.
So if you live in the neighborhood and you want like a cute fruit tree for your backyard, you can come down to KYCC on, I think it's Saturdays, and pick one up. And that was so cool to me. I wish I had a yard.
Yeah, so our environmental services, we is the only unit that works 7 days a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 365 days a year. So, yeah, we're out there early as 6 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Oh, man.
Yeah, providing services for Koreatown, yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. So maybe for Genesis, do you have any recent examples of participating in a public comment process and what it was for?
Yeah, so as a unit, we have been working with the county around banning flavored tobacco, particularly, you know, really trying to create safer environments for youth. So our most recent win was helping youth and parents advocate for banning menthol cigarettes. So we had been working on that issue for about 3 years. And so it was, yeah, a huge win that you don't always necessarily get, you know, depending on the process, but that was really big for us. And we're now going to be working around multi-unit housing and banning smoking in multi-unit housing.
So what was, how did you guys approach the council or either the neighborhood or the city and bring up the issue?
Yes, so we have been working through coalition building and advocacy skills of youth. So when youth set up meetings, and we work very closely with Steve as well, we set up time to just educate the council members around the issue and let them know why it's important and why it's important for the future of our community. And so we really come from an educational stance and really trying to advocate of why it's important and just give the data and then, let them decide as they need to and then continue to educate our community as to why it's such an important issue.
Awesome. And then Genesis and Steve, you guys might both have different perspectives of this, but since you represent such a large area, of Koreatown and such a big portion of the community, I'm sure there's a lot of differing opinions. And like, how do you listen to everybody and try to give them like an equitable attention, but then also decide how do we advocate for our community, for the city? So how do you balance like people having different opinions, and how do you decide which stance you're going to take and how you go forward with that?
I'll go first. I work closely with Genesis here on many of the advocacy campaigns for KYCC and Koreatown. So she gave a great example of the most recent win at LA City Council. So what we as an agency try to do is we're very mindful that there are many languages that are being spoken here in Koreatown, where Koreatown is one of the most densely populated area in the city and the county. And with such a diversity of ethnic backgrounds, we provide all of our materials in English, Korean, and Spanish. So that is a start. And then we also strive to provide culturally appropriate services. So we try to have staff We try to have folks that know that particular culture, that background, to outreach. And then right now, KYCC is engaged in a community effort on the issue of redistricting. I'm sure with transportation, redistricting is a major issue that is coming up with the census data being released. And we're mindful that Koreatown is not only for the Korean American community. So when we're creating that stakeholders meeting, we not only invite the Korean American leaders, but also our Latinx leaders, our Bangladeshi neighbors as well, and all the other community stakeholders that that call Koreatown home. So we try to bring a diverse coalition to the table. And what we found in the past that if we just advocate for like a single ethnic background or a single community, that wasn't as powerful as if you have a vibrant coalition. For example, just briefly, a couple years ago, Mayor Garcetti launched the Bridge Home initiative, and Koreatown was selected to be the first Bridge Home site. But because of sort of the inadequate sort of public outreach, there was a lot of uproar here in Koreatown, as some of you may remember. And there, KYCC really helped to mediate the process by bringing different folks and different stakeholders to the table. So in that way, we really try to bring a rainbow coalition for all of the public process.
Yeah, to add on to all the things that Steve has just mentioned, I think for us it's also about what can we do to increase quality of life for all residents in Koreatown and, you know, the other communities that are surrounding us. And we really try to focus in on what is going to benefit not just now but for the future. With the rich history that KYCC has had in Koreatown, we really seek to look at things from like a youth's perspective and what are the ways that we need to advocate in order for them to have a better future. And we really also focus on social determinants of health and how that's affecting different folks in the community. And so we really try to really hone in on the public health type of model to be able to serve all folks, regardless of race, class, gender, ethnicity.
And actually, Kevin, I'm kind of curious, how does LA Dot manage, because you're in external affairs, so you're working with community a lot. So yeah, how does LA Dot also address that you're dealing with so many different opinions on transit issues?
Yeah, I think, kind of what Steve and Genesis said is that we really go back to what our guiding principles are and what our goals are as an agency or as an organization, and try to see if there's a way that we can incorporate people's comments and ideas or information right into helping us achieve those goals. And so, for example, our sort of prerogative and priority right now is safety on our streets. And I know everybody has an idea of how that should be achieved, certainly. But, balancing those competing interests it's a tough task, but I think that it's something that we achieve through a public process. And I think being transparent about the process and being transparent about the decision-making and also why you're making decisions and explaining the reasoning and logic behind things is sort of the best that we can do in order to make sure that it's a continuing conversation, right? These safety on the streets doesn't stop on one block, but it's sort of a forever evolving thing as time goes on.
Yeah, and a lot of the plans that LA Dot proposes are actually based on studies, engineers, data, planners, outreach to the community. So even though it's really lame if your commute gets extended by 5 minutes, sometimes adding in those bike lanes or reducing a lane or adding some curb build outs and giving more space to pedestrians, like all of that helps everybody equally. So it helps the pedestrian, helps the cyclist, and it helps the driver. So everybody can be a lot safer. And there is a lot of data and research that goes into these decisions. They're not just off on a whim and they're like, you know what, I just feel like ruining your parking today. there's very long studies that come to those conclusions. So while on an individual level, it might be divisive or, you know, you might be super in favor of it, depending on like, I'm a pedestrian, I don't even own a car here, I need better protection. Or maybe you're a driver and you're like, I need to get to work, I'm gonna get fired if I'm late. It's understandable that there's a lot of tension and disagreement, but LEDOT is trying to prioritize safety above everything else, and so that's kind of like the heart of it. And it sounds like KYCC is the same way. Like safety, public health, and quality of life is really the driving factor in these decisions. Kevin, I know that a lot of people feel intimidated or disillusioned. They think, yeah, I could sign up to speak, but, nothing's going to happen anyways. Kind of similar to why a lot of people might not vote. So, I mean, do you have any examples? Or actually KYCC too? Like, do you guys have examples? I know you mentioned the flavored tobacco of, like, maybe a decision was going to go one way, but then enough people spoke up that it actually changed or you know, compromised?
I think maybe to take a step back, I definitely want to recognize that it is intimidating to give public comment. And it is easy to feel sort of disillusioned with the process. And, you know, I'm sort of one voice in, you know, a million people here who are on this issue. Some people are coming here with these high-paid lobbyists and lawyers and speaking the lingo and doing that thing. But I guess before we get to the actual public comment part, I think it's really important to think about how we're framing the decision, right? And how the decision is presented to the public and in the forum that it's presented. At LADOT, we're trying to take the lived experience of people and center that in the planning process from the very beginning. And, kind of going away from having a pre-planned project or having a design that's at 90% and we sort of need the okay or the sign off from people in the neighborhood to move forward with this project. I think That's how business has been done for a very long time, especially in government, where there's this sort of package that's baked, and people have a really limited agency over that decision or over what the project is, right? It's like we can pick these sort of very small, not really meaningful, maybe aesthetic things about a project, but at the core issue, a lot of what the project's doing is not addressing or even ignoring the core issues that are really relevant to that neighborhood. And what people have been really asking for, basic infrastructure needs, repaving the streets, right? More greenery. And we're coming in, or an agency is coming in with a project that has nothing to do with the problems that the people are really facing on a day-to-day basis. So I think that for a really long time that's kind of been the modus operandi for city governments. And so from the get-go, it's like, why would I even comment on this process? I have no opinion about this thing that's coming in, and so I can feel disillusioned. So I want to recognize, first of all, that that's definitely real, and I think that it's something that all public agencies struggle with, because these things take a lot of time. There's a lot of bureaucracy behind it. You get a grant. The infrastructure doesn't happen until 7 or 10 years later sometimes. So I want to understand that. But to the question about feeling disillusioned or intimidated, I think public comment is really the crux of how all of this works, right? Short of being able to go into a booth and vote for something, public comment is probably the most powerful tool that we have. And just because you're one voice doesn't mean that you're not joining a chorus of people who are saying the same thing or singing the same song, right? I think, which is why I think organizations like KYCC are super important, because they really are able to coalesce the political will and the sentiment and the wishes of a particular neighborhood or of a particular group of people. So I get it, but it's super important and it can be intimidating. But I think it's to make it less intimidating, I would say organize. And on that, I'll pivot to our friends who are doing the work of organizing.
I just want to quickly apologize, though. If you're picking up all this street noise on the broadcast, as a reminder, this series is in person live. So we also have the beautiful cityscape as our background. But that's the magic of this series, is that we're coming to places that LA Dot and the city might not usually come to have these conversations. Anyways, that said, I want to, yes, let's kick it back to KYCC. And again, if you have any like concrete or tangible examples too, we would love to hear them.
Yeah, so kind of like what Kevin mentioned, even if you're one person, your voice matters. And if you have an issue that you want to voice concern for, that one comment could make a big difference. For example, for myself, I live in Koreatown, and the street that I live on is really, it has been cracked. There's many potholes, many issues, and the city hasn't really done much about it. So I've, knowing how to make public comment, I've called into the council member's office. I've filled out different forms. I voiced concern at the local neighborhood council. And after multiple attempts, you know, the city did in due time, you have to be patient with it, but they came out and repaved the street. And then similarly here in Koreatown, you see a lot of development projects that are happening. These development projects are just not happening out of a whim. They go through a rigorous public input process where different commissions and also your elected officials and the neighborhood council really weighs in about how, you know, how large or how it's going to be built. And usually they ask the neighbors that live around it for their input. And if you stay silent, and once the building is built and you think it's too big or it's making an impact into your place of living, you really missed out on that opportunity to revise that project to be better in alignment with the neighborhood. So your voice really matters. And the key is just making sure you Google the city council agenda or the commission's agenda or the neighborhood council agenda to voice those opinions.
There's some great organizations, too, that I follow, like on social media that will share a lot of these meetings and agendas and even talking points. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you guys to look them up. I don't know if I can plug any. I do love listening to the People's City Council, and I personally like a lot of what they have to say, so I'm just going to give them a little shout out. But again, depending on your interests and your views, social media is a great way too, like an Instagram and Twitter, to find out what those topics are and your like someone in your neighborhood might know.
I wanted to add, a couple of years ago, we actually had a community member who had found out that they were going to be opening this restaurant bar with private rooms. And the reason why it was a problem is because it was right across from a senior center, and there had already been a lot of issues with that particular owner of that place. So this resident reached out to KYCC, let us know that it was going to be coming up in council. And through that, we were able to mobilize different coalition members in order for us to be able to shut down that business, because it just wasn't good business for the area. And so that, I think, speaking to the power of one person, had that person felt like, oh, this is not going to make a difference, that business would have opened. And so I think that one of the things that we talk about a lot with the youth and the parents is that advocacy and public comment is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And you have to be patient and consistent in keeping up with the issues in order for you to see change. And so, you know, in the 7 years that I've been here, some of the parents that have started with us back when I started have been able to see some of the wins over the years. And because they've been persistent in the process. So it is not a one and done. You definitely have to keep up and stay up to date with what's going on. And sometimes you're not going to get an immediate win. And that's also part of the process. And so I think that when folks don't know that, that is part of the disillusionment piece, because they think that if they didn't win that one thing, then the whole thing doesn't work. The whole process doesn't work. It's a fraud. But I definitely have seen a lot of small wins and big wins in the last 7 years in just that persistence piece.
I'm a super impatient person at times, so I understand, like, you're like, well, I'm going to go to one meeting and nothing's going to change. And, you know, that passion and that fire and, like, keeping that energy up and really fighting for a cause you believe in, like, that's also a huge aspect of it. So now I'm going to open up questions, you know, to anyone on the panel, and feel free to jump in or not. But, you know, I'm trying to also think a lot about access to this process. So even though we've just told you that anyone can participate and, like, you know, don't be intimidated and you can do it, there are still a lot of people that, even if they know all the steps, they might feel like they cannot actually, you know, get into this process. And so, like, what are some of these barriers to access, and how can we, like, help people work around them?
I'll start. I think we talked about language access a lot here, and I think the city and neighborhood council tries to provide some translations and things, but sometimes it's not perfect and it's not available. So I know that here in Koreatown, there's a large number of monolingual Korean or Spanish-speaking individuals who are recent immigrants and do not speak the English language. So many feel that because of their limitations in English, that they can't really participate in the public comment process. So I would encourage contacting organizations, kind of what Genesis mentioned, like KYCC or others in the neighborhood that can really help be that bridge between the community and the government stakeholder. And also, I would like to encourage contacting your local city council member or your representative that issue belongs to, because if you call their office, I'm pretty sure that all of the offices do have folks that speak various languages that can provide that assistance. And I know I get the comment from a lot of folks who say that, you know, I have a full-time job, it's 9 to 5, the council meeting is in the morning, or, you know, it's during normal business hours, so I can't participate. A lot of times they will accept either written, or sometimes you can call in and talk to that deputy of that elected officials that can record your comments so that your voice is heard. So there are many different mechanisms that you can register your opinion about a particular subject matter. So I would highly encourage that.
Yeah, and just to build off of that, I think it's important too to make the distinction that public comment is, when people talk about the public record, you submitting a comment, it becomes a part of that public record, and it's sort of enshrined, right, with all of the other public comments and letters and everything that are attached to a specific item. So this is it's not a Facebook post, it's not Instagram post or you know, an opinion piece, an op-ed in a local paper, even though those things can influence what ends up in public comment, and I think tools that organizations can turn to and use, and I think are very powerful in helping to shape the public opinion about a particular project or piece of legislation. But public comment is what actually makes it into the final record, and what you know, the decision makers are used. What they use to weigh their decision and to make their determination about a particular piece. But in addition to sort of the language access barriers, we know, you know, there's the digital divide as well. Not everybody has access to Wi-Fi or maybe a quiet place to participate in a meeting that's held virtually. So that's something that's also that's a barrier. There are childcare issues as well, right? That I think that we're trying to address and maybe make more equitable. commuting issues, access to buildings, I think, is another thing. For example, going down to City Hall, some people might be intimidated by having to show a driver's license or an ID or some form of ID in order to access and get into the building. So we recognize that there are those obstacles as well.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, so if you are a person that is facing some of those access issues, are you able to do public comment on behalf of somebody else? Is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Either you send in a letter, or like I said earlier, you know, partnering with an organization or organizing with a movement is also a great way. Signing a petition is also a form of public comment that can be submitted into the public record. So all of those things are valid.
And then I've also helped folks get to City Hall, and I've actually provided translation as well. So I've kind of spoke on behalf of someone else who couldn't speak the language necessary. So I think it's all of these are options, and we have folks around us. And I think, you know, Kevin mentioned like the digital divide and the transportation issues. Yes, I think through the pandemic, because people can call in versus just having to go all the way to City Hall and downtown to provide public comment, that provided a lot of access. But at the same time, you need a phone, you need a laptop. So there are these barriers, but I do see that I would love to encourage our city officials to kind of keep those options still open, even if City Hall is fully open after the pandemic, because I think the having the ability to call in versus being there in person allows much more equitable access for the public.
Yeah, I mean, and as a reminder, like, a lot of these meetings are during the daytime, like 10 a.m. or, you know, mm-hmm. something like that. Like, even if you don't have kids, even if you speak English, even if you own the highest brand iPhone in the world, like, you might have to work all the way on the west side. You know, it's 10 in the morning. Like, who is around and able to show up to a meeting and just drop everything? Especially if, again, you're not a full-time organizer or activist or lobbyist. Like, that schedule is, I think that alone is a huge problem. And I don't know if it's going to change anytime soon, unfortunately. But hopefully, if the city's listening to this, they keep those remote options available. I mean, honestly, I think one of the silver linings of the pandemic, and there's not many, but one of them was that turning the city council public comment process, getting rid of the physical like location and barriers. I think a lot of people who never participated ever before started to call in. I remember joining a few meetings where like the wait list to talk was like hundreds of people, which doesn't usually happen when you have to go to City Hall. Yeah, you have to check in. I think you do that thing kind of like when you go to a concert or sporting event, like you have to give them your bag and they have to check it and go through a metal detector. So it's a whole thing, and it's just like, for some people, that's a really stressful process, even if it is on its face feels like quote unquote normal, but it's not. And I know we talk a lot about these language barriers, and that kind of leads me into this just illuminating further, like historically, who are the people that are left out of the public comment process? Even with organizations like KYCC or advocating for people, like who is just not getting heard?
Yeah, I can speak on that issue. So definitely youth. We talk about, you know, the time of the meetings, right? And definitely, you know, for us, one of the silver linings was youth were available at the time to actually go do public comment. Prior to that, we would have to, you know, create a whole field trip and ask for all these different types of permissions to in order for youth to be able to participate. So having the youth voice during the pandemic, I think, was huge for us. For us, we work with a lot of monolingual Spanish-speaking parents, and some of them actually have very low literacy levels, so they don't even know how to read or write. So being able to actually practice with them and tell them what to say, explain to them that they have, you know, 45 seconds or a minute to speak, walking through that process with them really helps, because historically they have not been heard. And many a times get the most impacted by some of these decisions that are being made. And we already spoke about it right now, but yeah, working professionals, you know, that don't have the time during the day to be able to speak out. And it's interesting because sometimes you, even if you speak English, even if you went to college, the whole system and process feels very overwhelming. So definitely getting involved with local nonprofits like KYCC or other local nonprofits that have broken down the process for folks, I think is super important. And I wanted to add that part of bringing up the voices of folks who have been historically not heard is the number and the power in numbers. So being able to have them be part of coalitions so that they are able to be represented by a body of folks. And so I have in the past, you know, spoken in public comment where, you know, I talk about all the different intersectionalities of my life, you know, being a mom, growing up in Koreatown, being the daughter of immigrants, you know, having an elderly folk at home who, you know, does not know how to do public comment, but I know can be affected by the issue. So bringing those things up in your public comment, I think also lifts up the voices of those who have been historically unheard.
Right. And I think, you know, another population are houseless neighbors. Mm-hmm. That they're a huge part of this process that have been left out in so many ways. And I think the way that public comment has been structured, you know, there's definitely a paradigm in the way that it's set up, right? You have to have a base level of ability, I guess, in order to even participate, to stand up and to speak in front of a group of people. I think there are so many other things that need to be happening in your life in order to make it to that point. So I think that that's one population that I think has been left out in so many ways, and public comment is definitely one of those. And one way I think that we as a city need to find a better solution for just to have lift up their perspective and have more agency in the decisions that are being made, because they're really the most vulnerable population out there.
Yeah, I live in Echo Park, so I was very in tune with what happened a few months ago with our unhoused population. Park was shut down for renovations. It's still got a fence around it. And our unhoused population, a few of them got rooms, but really not all of them. And they were cut out of a lot of that conversation. And I think it would have been best if they had worked together with the council to, you know, find a solution that kept both parties happy, not just the residents that do have housing. I can't say much more about that. but, you know, again, if they had been part of that conversation and it had been included, I think we would have had a very different result. And I think a lot of people would have been treated more humanely, and their priorities and their quality of life would have been met. And right now, I just don't think that is quite the case for the unhoused. But we're, you know, we're almost at the end of our conversation, so I just want to ask KYCC or LADOT, you know, what's on the horizons? What, for your next cool public comment session, what are you going to talk about, or what are you trying to advocate for?
So I'll start. It's not the most, you know, a sexy topic, but redistricting. I mentioned that earlier. Every 10 years, you know, we went through the whole census process in 2020. Where we were asking everybody to fill out the census so that your voices are heard. And now that once we get the results, all of our political boundary is redrawn. It includes here in Koreatown. And historically, on the city council level, Koreatown, although the bulk of it is within Council District 10, currently represented by Councilmember Mark Ridley Thomas, it has been split into four different pieces. So Mark Ridley Thomas has a large chunk, Mitchell Farrell, Nithya Raman, and Gil Cedillo. And for a long time, the Koreatown stakeholders have been saying, we would like a unified Koreatown so that all of our voices are heard in a single council district versus four different pieces. So that is part of the equation currently, and there is a diverse group of stakeholders holding meetings, and then we're planning town halls. So that is something that we're preparing as a community to bring to the city council and to the commission to say, we're Koreatown residents and stakeholders. We would like our community to look like this in the next redistricting process.
For LADOT, you know, we're developing some tools and new approaches to community engagement, which I think, as I said earlier, really sets the foundation for an eventual moment where you submit public comment. So we're really looking at ways to engage individuals that are in place activations. So about some specific, sorry, let me just let this, let the city do its thing right now.
We don't know if you're hearing the sirens, but it's pretty loud. The city that never sleeps.
The city.
Move over, New York.
So as I was saying, was developing some new community engagement tools, really focusing on in-place activations. So, you know, going out at the intersection where a planned improvement might go and talking to folks, being strategic about engaging specific populations, like bus riders, you know, while they're waiting at the bus stop. Wow, that sounds like a simple idea, but I think it's something that, a new approach, right, that we're looking to embrace a lot more. So we have some of those community engagement tools that we're defining and really changing the way that LADOT is approaching community engagement to bring it outside of sort of the building and outside of those formal settings, right? And more integrated into sort of the daily life of somebody so we can catch them in their environment and come to them rather than them coming to us.
Yeah, additionally, for KYCC, I mentioned a little bit earlier about banning smoking in multi-unit housing. And we're really coming from the lens of trying to protect youth from secondhand smoke, as well as elderly folk who live in multi-unit housing. So that's probably the bigger issue that's going to be coming up for us in the next, you know, couple of years. And for any of the listeners, if they are interested in being involved in this work, they can go to our website and get involved in our coalition and, you know, bring their perspective to be able to pass this policy.
Well, that's so great. And I guess super quick, is there any way the listeners today, even if they don't live in Koreatown, can they get involved with any of these efforts?
Yeah, definitely. The easiest way is, although we primarily serve the greater Koreatown area, but we do provide services all throughout the city and the county of Los Angeles. So the easiest way to get involved is going to our main website, kycccla.org, kycccla.org, where you can navigate all the different types of programming, and if you want to volunteer or intern for any of our initiatives, you can easily sign up to do that. So I want to encourage all the listeners who would like to be more involved with KYCC and Koreatown to come on to our website.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh.
Sorry, yeah, and just really quick, for LADOT, I think it's really project and program specific. But I think, you know, what we're trying to do is partner more with organizations like KYCC or other neighborhood community development centers, community groups, in order to come to people where they're at to talk about projects and programs. So I highly encourage listeners to look up the organizations, the nonprofits that are around their neighborhood and the neighborhood that they live in or the neighborhood that they work with, and just get to know them, right? Go to some of their events, check them out on their Facebook or their Instagram or their website, and just learn more about them, because We will be hitting you up soon when there's something in your neighborhood, and that way you're already part of sort of an organization and a group of people.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And Renee, one quick plug I forgot to mention.
Yes.
I have to say, you know, our team manages our social media. We have a pretty good social media team. And other than our website, KYCCLA can be found on all the major social media platforms.
I think I tagged you guys earlier today, but it was at KYCCLA, at least on Instagram. Are you also on Twitter, Facebook? Yeah.
Yes.
So also LA.official is the LA dot handle. So LADOT official as one word. And I'm just Renee Reisman, RENEEREIZ, like zebra, MAN. That's going to wrap up our conversation today. So thank you so much, Steve, Genesis, and Kevin, for joining us. The Town Hall Tour is hoping to have two more stops before summer is over. And we will have more information about that soon. But if you're in South Los Angeles, I think that's where we're going to be heading for next. Details emerging. And I just want everyone to know all our events, if you show up in person, have live translation services. Today, we had wonderful people speaking in Korean and Spanish. And our English archive will be up on Dublab soon. And we will also provide translated versions of these conversations in Spanish and Korean today. In about maybe a month or so, but yes, we so you can share this conversation later and listen to it in three different languages, and we're so excited to work with Dublab and our KYCC and the Department of Cultural Affairs and LADOT on this project. So thank you so much for tuning in today, and we can't wait to have our next conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Adios.
Dublin.